From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Meet the Movie Press. Roundtable movie news and commentary from the industry's premier film journalists.
Well, TGIF, and thanks for coming in. This is Meet the Movie Press. I am Mark Riley, editor-in-chief of schmoesknow.com. Back from a little bit of a break. Thanks for all the kind wishes last week. We were busy last week. Jeff was sick. I was busy. And then Jeff Snyder has jury duty. So he's gone. But his loss is my gain because look who's here. Mary Jedekin, everyone. Film reporter. She is here. Thank God you come in to save me and be my guest co-host. How are you?
My pleasure. It's great to be here. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Sorry, I sound a bit nasally. I am getting over like my 11th illness of the season.
Yeah, I think it's been going around. I had it for like 3 weeks, mm-hmm. and it was like luggage. It just like you just carried it around everywhere, yeah. and it was awful. So. But God, thank you for coming. I mean, we've been trying to get Miri on the show and Jeff was so excited. Oh. You know, I know you guys go ahead and tweet, at the N Snyder because he's sitting at jury duty right now. He is not liking it.
No, it sucks.
He's very vocal on Twitter. I don't know mm-hmm. if you know Jeff Snyder.
No, I like
film him. Reporter for the
he's
Rap.
The N Snyder.
He is.
He's not just Jeff Snyder.
He's not. He's so.
The N Snyder.
He is so inside that they created an N Snyder. So yeah, he's doing well, but, thanks guys for, as always, joining us here on the Popcorn Talk Network. If you haven't already, rated, and commented and subscribed, it keeps the lights on here. So it's a very, very busy, Meet the Movie Press this week because geez, we had a lot of news break.
Huge.
We're going to get into it, guys, and I'm seeing you right here on the live chat. Guys, go ahead and drop in there on, YouTube.com/popcorn talk. You can jump in on the live chat here. Drop in what you guys want to talk about because there is a lot going on. Yep. We got Star Wars news, Ghostbusters news,
yep.
Dumbo news, which we'll talk about. We're going to do a hopeful news break, which.
Not Dumbo, the neighborhood in New York.
No. Oh, is there a neighborhood in New York?
Down under the Manhattan Bridge overpass.
I see. Wow.
I lived in New York for a spell.
So I was just going to say.
It's Manhattan Bridge. No. What is it? I don't know.
Yeah.
Correct me.
Yeah, you guys out there watching live or going to watch later, you know, tweet Mary Jedekin. What's your Twitter handle?
I'm at Mary the Jedi.
Which, I love that Twitter handle.
Thank
it's
you.
So perfect.
It's I mean, been my, you know, I've been called the Jedi since I was like a child because my last name is Jedekin.
I know,
so
right?
So it's like a natural Jedi.
Well, it fits. I mean, you are a Jedi master when it comes. Nice segue into here because like, I'm going to now interview Mary about how you started here. So you lived in New York. So wait, let's go back.
Former life.
That's your former life.
Mm-hmm.
And former life.
I still
life being,
feel like a Padawan. I don't think I'm quite master yet.
I'm going to call you master.
Okay. I'll take it.
Maybe I'm just a Jedi Knight. I don't know. Well, let's be both masters
okay.
of what we do. So where did you, okay. Yeah. So how did you get here? How did you end up in LA?
Well, I first visited LA. It was a graduation gift from my mom and dad. My brother was living in San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
And they sent me down there as like a gift for graduating university with honors, with doing really well.
Great. And where'd you go?
I went to McGill University, the Harvard of Canada. That's what they call it. It's not the Harvard of Canada, but for some weird reason, it has that reputation.
Okay.
It's a good school.
Yeah.
But it was my local alma mater. I mean, it was my local school in
So
Montreal.
You're from Canada. I didn't know that.
I'm Canadian. I'm from Montreal. Born
okay.
and raised.
There
and I
go.
Went to my local school. Also, everyone in my family went to McGill. So we're like a McGill family.
Mm-hmm.
I came down to visit my brother and we went down to LA for like 3 or 4 days. It was my first time in Los Angeles. I think I was, you know, 19 or 20 or however old I was.
Yeah.
And I just came here and I was like, I need to live here. And this is it.
Yeah.
Not because of anything related necessarily to the film business, but
okay.
just because, first of all, there's no winter. Huge.
No, there's not, guys. And for
there's
all
no winter.
You,
it is 75 degrees right now.
Yeah, and it's going to go to 80 degrees. I mean, I'm going home to work, and I'm going to open up my windows and just enjoy the weather mm-hmm. because it is pretty fantastic lately.
Yeah. It's been great. So there's no winter. I loved the fact that I was coming from when you grow up in Montreal and you're an English-speaking Montrealer, which means it's your first language, not French.
Okay.
It's a very tiny community, and I just felt like I needed to be a small fish in a big pond.
Yeah.
Not that I was a big fish in a small pond, but I just felt like I wanted to be anonymous. I didn't want anyone to kind of know. I wanted to kind of just you know, I was young. I wanted to explore my identity in a new place.
Absolutely.
So I moved to LA. I actually started out in fashion. I did a...
Really?
When I finished my bachelor's, I did a degree in fashion design.
Nice. What was your major to begin with?
Cultural studies and, like, media theory, critical theory. It's basically like film, but it's a little broader than film. I studied a lot of film.
Yeah.
But I also studied critical theory and you know, basically learning how to think critically.
That sounds like that's an interesting major.
It was a great major.
Far more interesting and important than my theater major from USC, which trained me for nothing except to maybe sit here and actually be comfortable behind a microphone.
I'm sure it gave you more than that.
You know what? I joke about my theater major and I go back to the words that my dad told me when he found out I was going to be a theater major. I believe it was, "What the holy shit?" And he was like, you know, and then he would send me clippings from SAG of like what actors made versus, you know, and he would highlight 10% don't make it or make it or whatever it is. I'm like, "Dad, I'm going to keep doing this." Anyways, I'm just getting way off topic.
No, it's good.
So, okay. So you major that.
So I did another degree in like a associate's degree. And then okay. I was in the fashion industry for a while. I worked in brand management and PR and I was in PR for a long time. And then I kind of switched out of fashion into more lifestyle. And all the time, every time I interfaced with journalists or worked with people who were doing what I do now, I always thought, like, I really need to kind of be doing that.
Yeah.
I need to kind of do that more. Cool. And it's funny, when I graduated university, it was a long time ago, but it was a different world. The internet was a different space. Video on the internet was a very new thing.
Yeah.
It was not the kind of focus on popular culture and film the way it is now. It wasn't as accessible. Being a journalist was not as accessible a career.
No.
It was really, you know, the written word, or you were like an anchor. And
yeah.
There was really not a lot of space for like an entertainment journalist that doesn't want to talk about celebrity.
Right.
So, and that's still kind of the case, but it's changed a lot. And so I kind of shied away from really focusing on a journalism career or a film career. And then I met somebody who was working at Current.
I remember Current. Yeah.
But we were chatting late into the night over a few whiskeys and
nice.
He was like, "What are you doing with yourself? Like, why are you not on camera? You should be on camera." And I was like, "I don't know. You make it sound like I should go buy a coffee." Like, he made it sound so easy. And he's like, "Well, we have some openings at Current on the .com side to do some online content editing." And
okay.
So he brought me in to do that. And then I kind of became like a community web person
okay.
where I would interface with the community doing videos, like doing little nice. Webcam kind of things.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, see, I remember Current. That's where the Schmoes started too,
yeah.
I believe. Mark and Christian did a couple things on there.
Yeah, and Rotten Tomatoes had a show
Rotten
on there.
Rotten Tomatoes, yeah.
So that's kind of, that was a long time ago now, but that's kind of where I started to, you know, I created a blog. I had a blog called Miripedia for a while.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah,
I like that.
It was just all about everything. It was just my own personal, it wasn't necessarily about film. And then I went, I did that for a while. And then while I was doing that, I was approached by the president of Greedy Productions, which is the Canadian company that produces Electric Playground and Movies on the Run.
Yeah.
And he approached me because they were going from weekly to daily. And needed somebody in LA on the ground to help expand their content beyond video games.
Okay.
So I did that for about 5 years. I worked for him. I was a host. I was a producer. I was a writer. I was a researcher.
Yeah.
I was sales and marketing.
I did it all.
I met all the studios. I started doing junkets for them. I started doing red carpets. I started building those relationships.
Yeah.
And it was very worthwhile. It was a wonderful experience. And then after 5 years, I kind of moved on and I went to AMC.
There you go.
So here I am.
And now...
Long and storied.
Yeah, no, but it sounds so interesting. I love your major, first of all. I love that you started in fashion. And, you know, I started in acting. Didn't really go anywhere. I think I had one line on General Hospital and then I gave it up after that and then started writing and just kind of by accident here. I mean, it's amazing. LA to me is that so many people come here, like you mentioned, wanting to kind of see what LA is like. And I mean, I grew up in Orange County, so very, very close. I was up in LA, but to come from USC into this world. And then I look now, we were talking about our mutual friend, Sasha Pearl Raver.
Yeah.
Like I went to USC with her actually.
Love her.
And,
Sasha.
Yeah, Sasha, I don't know if you're listening, long time no chat. We're going to have to get you on here.
Yeah. She'd be probably the best guest you'll ever have.
I know. She's killing it on FX. I mean,
yeah,
it's like
doing great.
Every weekend I'm watching like Iron Man 3 or something and she's doing the commentary.
I know,
you
she's
know.
So great.
She's great.
I love you, Sasha.
I love meeting all these people that just kind of come from all these different walks of life. And you end up here because I want to get to it. You're a movie fan.
Oh, yeah. Since, I mean, this is what I really should have started with, is that my earliest memories are sitting in front of the TV in our basement watching the same movies over and over until I wore out the VHS tapes.
I actually couldn't watch them anymore. Oh, yeah. And I did that with my Superman VHS. It was gone. I remember watching it probably for the, 200th time on my VHS. And I, you remember that sound when it would eat the tape?
Oh, finally, it's such a sad...
And I'm like, no, I know. What do I do? And I was like, calm down, here are your
Such
toys.
Such a sad, sad sound.
I know, it really is.
I've loved movies my whole life. And you know, what I studied in college was really my true love. And I think I spent most of my 20s kind of trying to get back to that place. Mm-hmm. And now I'm excited because, you know, we live in a world where I can do different things for different outlets and talk about movies in different ways. And I think it's, I think we're in an exciting time for film journalism. I think things are changing and, you know, we were talking last night about distribution of films and how it's all disruptive and everything's changing. And I think that's true for all content. So.
Yeah, it's going to forever change. Nothing's going to stay the same. And these trends, you know, right now we're in the golden age of the comic book movie. Mm-hmm. I would even say the golden age of Star Wars. Now with all this stuff, and we'll get to this news here. I love having this conversation to start because we are all film lovers. So let me ask you this. What's your favorite genre of film?
Oh, that's a tough one.
I know. I don't think I could answer that.
Well, I love psychological thrillers. They're not easy to find anymore. It's not a genre that people are making. Same for Westerns. I love Westerns. Yeah. I love movies that... I know this is multiple genres, but I like any movie that explores the human condition in a way that feels compelling and real and multidimensional.
So I'm immediately started thinking about Prisoners. Did you like that movie?
Yeah, it's a great movie.
God, I love that movie, and I'm so happy.
We were just talking about it last night.
We were, and because I'm going to butcher his name.
Villeneuve.
Thank you. Okay. Well, I can mimic, so I can just go off of what you said, but... The fact that he's doing Blade Runner 2 is pretty amazing. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't too excited about it. I was like, oh, really? We're going to do Blade Runner 2? Because that's a perfect sci-fi movie for me.
And it's a perfect noir film.
And it's exactly.
It's noir. It is so beautiful. See that movie if you haven't yet.
Yeah, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago that I believe Mark Ellis hasn't seen Blade Runner yet. And we were like, get out. You're fired.
I'll watch it with you, Ellis.
There you go. See?
It's a great film. I'll watch it any day of the week and twice on Sundays.
Yeah. So I'm just very excited for that. But yeah, I love those movies. We need more of those movies. I love those movies and Westerns. I probably everywhere men just perked to attention, went, damn it, Mary's married. And I can't love her because she loves Westerns. I mean, I know, God, we ran something on schmozno.com a couple weeks ago. George McCann, a guest contributor, wrote, is the Western dead? Can we get back to that?
I think it's cyclical. I think the Western might be just in a fallow period right now. I don't know that there's a lot of room. Westerns just haven't been making money, and that's the bottom line. And I think studios and independent financiers and production companies all have to they have a bottom line that they have to answer to. There have been some great recent Westerns. I mean, maybe not so recent, but contemporary. I mean, I thought 310 to Yuma was great.
I was just going to say I love that, and I wish Ben Foster was around more.
Yeah, he's a good Western kind of guy.
He is. Well, what do you think of Magnificent Seven reboot? I mean,
I don't think it's a bad thing. I'm not a huge fan of reboots and remakes, especially in this age where I feel like everything is up for grabs.
Right.
But if it's good and it reinvigorates the genre and gets more people interested in it that haven't been growing up on Westerns and things, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, Star Wars isn't a Western.
It really is.
You know, even down to the tropes of like the bad guy wears all black and you know what I mean? Like there's a lot of Western themes in Star Wars. So if you're a fan of Star Wars and you haven't really watched any Westerns, my favorite's High Noon. I love that Western.
Yeah,
I think it's a masterpiece.
That's one of my favorites. My favorite of all time is Tombstone.
Yeah, that's a great. See, that's good, more modern one.
That's a modern one, and one that I keep going back to. I share this love with my father. Like he just, all I have to do is go, I'm your Huckleberry. And he goes, I love that.
I need to rewatch that movie. It's been a while. I just rewatched Wyatt Earp recently, and it was so good.
Wyatt Earp's good.
I just like Gene Hackman.
Yeah. Well, Gene Hackman. I mean, God, Unforgiven.
Please come out of retirement, Gene Hackman.
I know. I heard, I had a...
Unforgiven, yeah. It was Unforgiven that I watched. Sorry, not Wyatt Earp. That's the one I was
Unforgiven,
thinking of.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know why I said Wyatt Earp.
Yeah.
Yeah, Unforgiven's great.
I know. I love that movie. So, and yeah, you guys, listen to Miri the Jedi here, because she is so right when it comes to, like, I love getting the different layers of Star Wars, like, that you see. It's based on, you know, Flash Gordon serials. It's a Western. It's a space opera. It's fantasy. It's everything.
Yeah. And John Carter from Mars 2, I think, might have been obviously the new movie, but what the movie's based, the book, I think, influenced like every sci-fi director.
Absolutely. Ever. Absolutely. Well, guys, I see you just going in here. Oh, yeah, you got him talking. Rio Bravo. Oh, Christopher Scalicchi, my contributing writer on Schmozen.com. Rio Bravo, The Searchers, Magnificent Seven, The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance.
Oh, God,
I could go on and on. He's so right.
Yeah, I know. Those are all great. Those are all, you know, probably the top 10 in the top 10 list, all of those.
Yeah. Oh, and Alberto Heisenberg. I love your name, dude. With the Luke Skywalker and Yoda picture. True Grit, Django Unchained, of course. Yeah. Love it. Love it. So, guys.
Django is a great call, actually, for a modern day Western. And, you know, if there's any director that's poised to reinvigorate, like I said, the genre, it would be Quentin.
Well, it's interesting, too, that Quentin Tarantino made Django and then he's kind of jumped around in the kind of the period pieces. He did Inglourious Basterds, obviously Kill Bill and all these kind of things.
And then one he's coming up with.
Yeah, Hateful Eight. Mm-hmm. He's going right into another Western. So thank God for that. Yeah. I love that we're talking about Westerns.
Yeah.
This is just, this is what happens when, you know, you get a guest co-host and you just kind of shoot from the hip.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, like a Western. Shoot from the, hey, pew pew. Okay, good.
So here's a quick question.
Yes,
please.
In
the Man with No Name trilogy, which one's your favorite?
I don't.
Fistful of Dollars for a Few Dollars More, or The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly?
No, Good, Bad, and the Ugly.
It's your favorite?
Absolutely.
You know what's funny? I think For a Few Dollars More is my favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
See,
it's weird. I always said Good, Bad, and the Ugly, and then I rewatched them a few years ago, and I was like, you know what? I think the middle is actually...
It tends to be that way, but I haven't seen... I mean, the reason I say Good, Bad, and the Ugly is because I actually saw it like 3 weeks ago or something like that. So it's very fresh.
It's brilliant.
And I haven't seen the other two in probably 20 years.
I have the box set if you want to borrow it.
I think we do need to borrow it. We were just chatting off air that we're going to be somewhat neighbors.
Yeah.
So I think you know, my girlfriend needs to catch up on these Westerns. So maybe we'll have a movie night somewhere in the South Bay or in the area where I'm going to be living is right on the beach. So... We're going to do something rad. So, guys, I think we need to do something. I don't know if you guys back there in the booth know about this hopeful news break that we do. There's a little jangle we have. So let's do hopeful news break.
Hopeful news break.
Do we have it? Okay. Here we go. It is time for hopeful news break. That's right. I love the music. So, Miri, I don't know if you know about this. Every Wednesday and Thursday, we go to the Facebook page, Meet the Movie Press, on the Popcorn Talk Network. And I asked the fans, what do you want to hear break in this news? A lot of people were wanting the Star Wars spinoff news. Mm-hmm. So we got that. And we're going to get into that. But so what we do is, based on what's out there, the rumors, what's kind of, you know, everybody's hearing, what could potentially break, I say, what do you want to hear about? What do you guys want to know? And so they just drop in. I mean, they love this. They go crazy. So we talk about a few of them, and then we kind of, you know, we go back and forth. Can this happen? Or, you know, sometimes it's a little bit out of left field. You know, they want maybe Tobey Maguire to come back as Spider-Man, and you're like, probably not happening. But I just wanted to go into this because this one's great. Dennis Sace, and already I'm going to butcher all of your names. I apologize. You guys are so rad because you drop in so many and then I butcher your name. So Dennis Sasse. Come on.
Sassy?
Sassy. Dennis.
Did I get it right? Tell me if I got it right.
Yeah, I think I hope you're not mad at us, Dennis. But anyways, he says the possibility of M. Night Shyamalan doing Unbreakable 2 and 3. I don't know if you guys are aware of this. Patton Oswalt went on Screen Junkies, our friend Screen Junkies, and he pitched his Unbreakable 2 sequel and 3, making it a trilogy, making it basically like Bruce Willis's character starts to find other Unbreakables out there in the world and does like a Justice League with them. And he actually takes pieces from Unbreakable and says, if you look at when Mr. Glass, Samuel L. Jackson's character, mm-hmm. he froze, or Screen Junkies helped him with this, froze like the articles. And you can see that, like, you know, you've seen Unbreakable, mm-hmm. I assume. Okay, so at the end, guys, spoiler alert, who hasn't seen Unbreakable? So get over yourself if you haven't, and I'll ruin it for you.
Spoiler alert.
But he, you know, he creates all these disasters and finds Bruce Willis's character. The name is escaping me. Guys, if you're on the live chat, please correct
remember.
Me.
It's been a while since I've seen that movie.
I know. So, but in those articles, there are little, just little throwaways where it's like a child is the only survivor of this, like, mudslide, or another
Easter
person.
Eggs,
yeah, little Easter eggs, maybe. And so Patton Oswalt, brilliant as he is, picks up on that and goes, so there are others out there. He's going to go around and he's going to collect all these and they're going to make the Justice League. Mm-hmm. And that's like part two. And then, you know, part three is something like Samuel Jackson's gets the blood from Bruce Willis, injection in himself, is able to heal himself and then become unbreakable himself. It's so cool. So, is it a possibility that we can get an Unbreakable 2 and a 3? What do you think?
I sadly don't think it's... I mean, I think anything is possible.
Possible.
I don't think it's probable.
Yeah.
For the simple reason that I don't think there's a lot of love for M. Night Shyamalan right now because his movies have not been performing well. They haven't been received well by critics.
Right.
As much as I love the idea and I love Patton Oswalt for coming up with it. And mm-hmm. I also think, you know, out of all of his films... For sure, Unbreakable is probably the one you could expand for all these reasons. I don't see it happening when there's so much reliance by studios on previously existing worlds and universes, even Ghostbusters, which I'm sure we'll talk about.
Yeah, we're going to talk
about
that. You
know, that has legacy. I mean, there's Ghostbusters comic books. There's Ghostbusters lore. So
yeah.
There's stuff to pull from. With
right.
Unbreakable, all you have is that one movie.
Yeah.
And then not really much else. So it's a tricky thing to kind of have to build out. And
yeah.
Also, it came out a long time ago, so a lot of people aren't even familiar with it.
It
might be confusing to people.
It's kind of a cult classic right now because it didn't do too well, which is interesting because coming off of Sixth Sense – was Unbreakable. Personally, Unbreakable is my favorite M. Night movie. I think it's far superior than all of his movies, even Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
And I totally agree with you. Now, my question is, because of M. Night's slide recently, do you think he's going to try? Because he tweeted out right after that.
He said, I
need to invite Patton over to help me with these sequels. And not a lot of people picked up on it. I think it was a tongue-in-cheek. I don't think he's doing that. He's working on a television show. He's probably working on Last Airbender 2, for all I know. I don't know. But
please don't.
Yeah, please stop right now. I'm kidding. That's kidding. But do you think M. Night might look at that? It's somewhat of a brand.
It would be
cool.
I mean, I think it would be a risk.
It would be a risk,
financially,
I think.
For producers and studios that are very risk adverse these days, because, you know, we were talking about this last night on the show, that there's been so many shakeups in the industry that that's why you're seeing so many reboots and remakes. People want to bet on a somewhat of a sure thing and build on legacy. I mean, it would be interesting to see.
It would be interesting.
I'd be open to it. I just think it would be tricky for the reasons I said, and probably more reasons I'm not thinking of.
Well, I think you hit it right on the nose with the how long it's been. It's too long, I think. I really do.
Yeah. Like, even Dumb and Dumber 2, I think, suffered for people being like, huh?
Yeah.
This movie came out so long ago.
Well, even, my girlfriend, she didn't really hit that that age with Dumb and Dumber. And so when I was, like, forcing Dumb and Dumber 2 on her, she's like, I don't even remember the first one.
Yeah.
And I was like, how dare you? But then we watched Dumb and Dumber 2.
You should have just given her an IOU.
Yeah. I know.
That's a $250,000 IOU.
Might want to hold on to that one.
Keep that.
I love it. Yeah. Okay. So... Yeah, I personally, as a fan of the Unbreakable movie, I would love to see it, but I don't know if it would happen. And again, going back to where M. Night is creatively, I don't know if... bring in Patton Oswalt to write it, and then we'll talk.
And then it would be really funny.
Then
it would
be funny. And then Star Wars characters show up.
I still just want to see Ratatouille 2. I just want Patton back for that. I love Ratatouille.
I think
it's one of my favorite Pixar films.
And Brad Bird. I mean, come on.
I know.
And Tomorrowland. But we got Tomorrowland coming.
I can't wait to see. I mean, that trailer is just like, yep.
Oh, I know. I'm so in. You guys, what did you think about the Tomorrowland trailer?
What did you guys think? I'm so curious because I feel like there have been people that are like, meh.
Yeah, and... You know, I've actually gone, we're going to segue a bit onto Tomorrowland. This is what I love about this show is there's so much going out there because,
yeah,
again,
so
we
many
had
news,
the,
so many news.
We had the Tomorrowland trailer that dropped. You know what? I am going to call it right there. Let's talk about Tomorrowland. Guys, that was Hopeful News Break. We have so many. I could go on. Maybe we'll try to grab one at the end. But thank you guys. Every Thursday, Wednesday and Thursday, drop in your Hopeful News Break. You don't need my prompt. Just do it. Let me know what you're thinking, what you hope to see. And let's talk about Tomorrowland because this trailer, let's start it out because this was a very busy news break, news week. I kept my ass pretty busy, just like, oh my God, you know, geez, what is, stop it, stop it.
It's like I need to look up from my phone and Twitter, you know, it's like I need to stop looking at
So you think Tomorrowland, you think people are not into it? I mean, guys, I want to hear your thoughts. Go on the live chat, drop in your thoughts. Tomorrowland, yay, nay? Were you, are you like totally into it now? I saw the first one. Was it the teaser?
Yeah, it was just, a teaser.
Yeah,
last,
just the
last year.
Just the flash where she touches it, and I was like,
"Oh God,
that's neat."
Love it.
I will, and I'll start with this. I love that we're getting a strong female character in the lead of this.
Thank you.
No, I do. We need more of that.
I agree.
And I was a little upset that the poster didn't have her in it, and I think Disney realized, I think there was a big outcry for that. And then the trailer comes and she's all over it. She looks fantastic. I can't remember her name.
I can't either. I just think it's cool that she's an unknown relatively, and
that's what
here
I love.
She is doing this giant studio movie with George Clooney, and it's got huge budget, you know, major VFX. It's a, you know, epic story.
Yeah.
That's one of the many reasons I'm excited for Tomorrowland. I'm excited for the whole Disney aspect of the film that they went and shot at Disneyland. And
oh, wow.
I love, there's so many elements of the film that I think it was on my most anticipated list, or if not, it was very close.
Yeah.
It's definitely one I can't wait to watch.
I would say now it's my number three.
Oh.
Behind Star Wars and Avengers, because I'm the biggest geek in the world.
You are a geek. That's cool.
Yeah. No, I mean, Star Wars.
I think Hateful Eight and The Revenant are my...
Those are in the... That would round out my top five. Absolutely. The Revenant, especially, I can't wait for Tom Hardy and Leonardo DiCaprio. Holy shit, guys.
Hopefully, Leonardo DiCaprio's man bun maybe won't make it in, but I think the beard... The beard's going to be front and center.
Yeah, that picture of him with, like, with the rifle.
I mean, he survives a bear attack. He needs a beard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. He needs that beard to, you know, like, hopefully it's, like, nice and scruffy enough so like just kind of the claws bounce off of them. But yeah, guys, Tomorrowland, this trailer breaks, and my managing editor,
every second that ticks by, the future,
see, look at us, we just go
look how beautiful.
So guys, this trailer is running, it's just so beautiful looking. The actress who plays, she looks fantastic.
Yeah.
The story sounds fantastic. Did you hear about, there's a big spoiler that dropped, and Disney tried to stop it and pulled the embeds. The Japanese trailer comes out and pretty much reveals a huge part of this movie.
I hate that.
I did find out, and I'm not going to spoil it for you guys.
Because I didn't see it.
Yeah, I think they want to keep this under wraps, but it's very interesting and how it all ties together. I just love it. So guys, let me jump in on this here. This live chat.
I have to say, while you're jumping in the live chat, one of the things that bugs me, one of my peeves as a movie journalist and a person that loves film, is just how much teasers and trailers have become part of the conversation. I think it's cool, but I also think because studios have to sell movies, sometimes they just give everything away, and there's so many trailers. Like, I'm done with Ultron. Like, I love the Avengers. I don't want to see anything else.
I'm so with you.
And I feel like it does kind of dampen the experience, because I remember as a child going to see a movie and getting one commercial and one trailer. And that was it for 6 months. You go see the movie. When there's a twist, you're not seeing it coming. Now it's very different. It changes the way we watch movies. And I think it's not always a good thing.
So. Yeah, and I'm worried because now we're getting close to Avengers, and you bring up a really good point. We're getting close to Avengers Age of Ultron. Mm-hmm. We've already got, what, three trailers or two trailers or like a teaser and then a big two trailers.
And then
okay.
There was a commercial spot. I mean, the commercial. It was a lot of the
same stuff. That's my point. We're going to start to get these commercials, and I think about the original Avengers when they show Hulk jumping and saving Tony Stark. That was the last scene in the movie.
Yeah.
That was a big... What if we didn't see that? Christian Harloff, rightfully so, brings this up a couple times when we've talked about this. If you saw Tony Stark taking the missile into the portal and blah, 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 and then he's falling, and we didn't see that Hulk scene,
You don't know if he's alive or dead.
Yeah, that might have been a little bit more of a powerful moment.
Yeah.
And I hope they just, yeah, we're done, guys. Avengers, everybody's going to see it. You could just give us one trailer.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to go see Avengers. Hey, look at that. What are we doing here? Oh, my God, I love that. Oh, man, the live chat. It's got all the bells and whistles. Riley knows the ending to Terminator Genisys. LOL.
You mean Genisys?
Genisys. Alberto Heisenberg. Yeah, I do know the ending to Terminator Genisys. I have a very, very good source on the matter. I did not ruin it for, I did not post an article. We talked about it here. I'm just going to move on from that. We're not going to talk about it. So, guys, everybody's saying Tomorrowland trailer, it's okay, but I hope the movie is better than the trailer, says Mladen Kulik. I'm, again, butchering all your names. Okay. That's fair.
I totally feel that, because I think one of the things about the trailer, and this is again the danger with trailers, is it wants to show you a lot of the flash and the effects, and not, it doesn't really delve into character very much, doesn't really delve into, which is also a good thing. So maybe let's hold out hope that the movie is better than the trailer, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, I think I was blown away by the trailer, and the it's set up beautifully, I think, with and again, I'm going to the actress because how dare I not know this?
Oh,
This is so horrible. Britt Robertson as Casey Newton. Yeah, she looks fantastic. So it got me. It pulled me in with her touching the thing. And then we kind of build. But then we did get all the bells and whistles. We saw what Tomorrowland looks like. Guys in jetpacks. We got a exploding, flying bathtub, which was pretty awesome. But okay, that's it. That's all I need. I'm sold. You know why? Because it's Brad Bird. And it's a Disney, you know, Disney's on a tear lately, so this is great. So, guys, let's shift. I want to talk about Ghostbusters. What the hell is going on with Ghostbusters? What do you think of this shared universe? So, guys, I don't know if you're familiar as we talk about Ghostbusters, the shared universe on Meet the Movie Press here on Popcorn Talk Network. We got a shared universe coming. We have
another one.
Yeah, another one. Another shared universe. We touched on it last night. I totally agree with this. Christian Harloff mentioned it. Are we getting these shared universes because Marvel started it and it's cool and it's the popular way to go?
And it makes money.
It's making money. We've heard that. Sorry, no, they have been developing this. Ivan Reitman is on to do this with Dan Aykroyd. We got Channing Tatum and rumored Chris Pratt wanting to team up. Be Ghostbusters, tie it into the Paul Feig movie with all the women. I love that idea. I do not think there's enough to go off of in the Ghostbusters universe to create a shared universe.
There is no Dana. There only Zool.
Only Zool.
I mean, yeah, I agree with you. I think it's almost premature. Like, if they're going to announce a shared universe, do it after this Ghostbusters reboot
does well. Thank you.
I was happy about the news with the cast.
Yeah.
Not only because it's nice to see, you know, a reboot with four women. I'm a woman. I like to see other women on screen. You know, the same way anybody wants to be able to relate to the characters they see on screen. But it's also, these particular four women are among the most talented comedic actresses out there.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see their chemistry because obviously they got brought together because they work well as a team.
Right.
And I think it's an interesting way to reboot. But a shared universe to me sounds a bit premature. As much as I love Channing Tatum and Chris Pratt and would love to see them together in this kind of a vehicle, I don't know that it's right to mention it right this second.
Right. And it's really, I mean, you're really only going off of one movie. I mean, Ghostbusters 2 was, I still enjoy it a lot, but you know, it obviously it didn't.
Was that the one with the MC Hammer song? Or was Too Legit? Ghostbusters? What was the song? There was like a big song. I don't know if you guys in the chat can.
I think it was Bobby Brown.
Oh, it was Bobby Brown. Yeah. That's right.
They do what they want to do. Say what they want.
Yeah,
what?
That's it.
No, that was the Addams Family.
Oh,
what
yeah,
the
you're right.
Hell am
that
I
was
thinking?
The Addams Family.
Yeah, on Bobby Brown own. On our own.
That's
yeah.
what it was.
And I guess we're gonna have to take control. Yeah, that's right.
Halcyon days.
I know, right? I'm not crazy about the shared universe. It is premature. It does feel like premature. It does feel like, hey, I'm seeing you guys. I think Ghostbusters shared universe is a little stupid. So Sony is awful. Yeah.
Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah, Sony needs to know that they need something first before continuing. Yeah.
I agree with you guys. I think you guys know it. You know, I think it's just too early. I think I'd like to see this go. I think this announcement was big enough. It was a huge, bold change to bring women into parts that are known to be, you know, these are traditionally male roles from the first film. And I think just let that breathe. And I feel like this is true for a lot of news. yeah. in general.
That's,
around movies.
Please say this because I think I know where you're going with this.
Well, I just feel like, you know, I think what Marvel is doing is brilliant. Mm-hmm. I think we've talked about this last night, and Christian and I talk about this all the time, how Disney, they're just geniuses at yeah. making a shared universe work. But they've been building this for a decade.
Yeah.
So they've had a lot of time to build the universe. And yeah. now I feel, even with DC, and I'm the first person to say I have huge expectations and confidence in Batman v Superman. I think
Me
it's going to be great.
I think so too.
I am hopeful.
Yeah.
And I'm hopeful for them to build out the universe because DC is filled with such amazing characters.
Yep.
But again, they have a lot of catch up to do.
Yeah.
So I think announcing a shared universe for something that's just based off one film. And I know there have been, like I said earlier, a lot of comic books and a lot of things that,
sure.
that have come out and been spawned from Ghostbusters. I still feel like everyone's kind of like, we're announcing the entire universe for the next 30 years. And you're just like, whoa, let's just...
Yeah.
Just take it one
Pump
step at a time.
Pump the brakes, Sony.
Because Marvel did take it one step at a time. They didn't announce Phase 3 when they were coming out with Iron Man. Like, it was a whole other thing. So.
It's so interesting. You're so right. And I think it makes the movie news... And here, Meet the Movie press just go bonkers because we're covering it because it is news. But you're right. Marvel started. I don't think they started with let's make Iron Man good.
Yeah, which is the best way to approach
it. Best anything. Way to approach it. I mean, guys, I'm a writer. I love to write. And you got to work your ass off to get a good script. So,
and then a director that understands the vision and can take it to the next
level. Yeah, and then the collaboration. Exactly right. You get a director, you get a star, you get blah, 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 all down the line. So it did seem, for DC, it seemed a little premature. I loved Man of Steel.
So did I
enjoyed the hell out of it.
I thought it was flawed, but I loved the world that they created, and mm-hmm. I loved the mood, and that it felt different from the Marvel Universe. And I think that's really important. And I think Zack Snyder is going to do a great job again with.
I think so too.
With the darkness of Batman v Superman.
Yeah, and that's why I have a lot of faith in this because mm-hmm. I know that they're kind of reverse engineering the Marvel formula by just kind of throwing everybody in there. At first, when they cast Ben Affleck, I didn't have a problem with Ben Affleck. I had a problem with throwing Batman in there because that's their golden boy, right? Man of Steel didn't do Batman Dark Knight numbers because it's a different movie. Chris Nolan did a totally different thing. Now, Zack Snyder did a totally different thing, even though Chris Nolan was EP on it. But to put Batman in there, it was like, oh God, now what are they doing? Then we got Cyborg. Then we got Aquaman.
Well, one thing that DC's doing well is cast, and I think that's
Absolutely.
Something Marvel has been really, really vigilant about, is bringing in great cast that's right for the roles. I actually liked the announcement for Ben Affleck. I think he's going to be a great Batman. Just that jawline.
I'm so into it.
The jawline alone, the bottom half of his face is going to look great under that mask.
But, he looks great.
But I also, I like the fact that, you know, they've got Jesse Eisenberg, they've got Scoot McNairy. They're bringing in, like, real character actors that pack a punch, that have gravitas on screen. And my only casting foible that I think they made was Amy Adams for Lois Lane.
Really?
Maybe because I'm a brunette.
Yeah.
And I feel like Lois Lane needs to be a brunette. I think Amy Adams is one of the most talented actresses.
She is, yeah.
I love her work. I think she's great in the role. Maybe visually I was expecting someone else, and maybe that's shallow of me. I just felt like, as Lois Lane, I wanted someone different.
Do you think – I think she was underdeveloped in the script.
Maybe that's part of the problem.
I think she didn't have enough to do.
She was a bit one note, yeah.
She was a bit one note. And Lois Lane, I mean, look, I go off of the Superman original movie. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard for me to see anybody else but Margot Kidder because she kind of killed it.
She was we grew up on her also. I grew up on Margot Kidder. And
me too.
I think she was fantastic in the part of Lois Lane for that era, because I think now...
Yeah, she would stick out like a sore thumb, like that kind of version of Lois Lane.
I don't know who could... I don't know, you guys. You tell us, who would be your ideal Lois Lane, right? I'm so curious to hear what everybody has to say.
Yeah, guys, drop something in. Tell us what you think of Amy Adams as Lois Lane. I actually... quite enjoyed her in the role, and actually wanted her. I actually, when they announced Superman, I made a list that I wrote on schmozno.com about my picks for Lois Lane, and she was in there.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, I think she does a good job. I just feel like, I don't know, maybe I had somebody different in my head. I don't know who that person is.
Yeah, it's hard to say, but she's here to stay. And the DC shared universe, getting back to Ghostbusters, I think we're both in agreement. It's a little premature. It'll be interesting to see, because if this female-driven Ghostbusters movie flops, I don't think it will, but if it does, you got some serious problems then, Sony. You're not going to be able to create that shared universe.
With announcing things too early.
Exactly. So let me switch gears a little bit. What do you think of Dumbo? Live action Dumbo, Tim Burton. I have to talk about this, and then we're gonna get to Star Wars, guys. Don't worry.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that. But what I just can't wrap my head around this because one, I love hearing the Cinderella is great.
Yeah.
Okay. I love the Beauty and the Beast mm-hmm. casting. And I think Beauty and the Beast is going to work wonderfully.
Emma Watson. I'm going to like it better than ever. People know this, that I'm not a huge Beauty and the Beast fan.
Really?
But I'm a huge Emma Watson fan.
There you go.
So I'm so excited to see her play the role of Belle because I think she's going to bring so much depth and intelligence and grace to the role
that is
needed for the role of Belle.
Yeah.
I think she's going to be great.
And I just adore her as Hermione. And so to see her now turn into a beautiful woman, become Belle. It's perfect. Yeah. So I'm excited for this. I did like Maleficent, but I thought the liberties they took with the mythology was a little interesting. So
dark for kids too.
Pretty dark for kids.
You know, not to spoil it, but the scene where you know what happens to Maleficent to make her bad and mean.
Right.
I mean,
it
wouldn't
surprised me.
I don't know if 6-year-old me would be like cool with that.
Yeah.
I probably have nightmares.
Yeah, but it did well. So
yeah, it did really well.
So it looks like we are going to probably get every single animated Disney movie made into live action.
Yeah.
I mean, it just feels this way. When Dumbo came out, when they said they were making a live action Dumbo, and it's written by Aaron Kruger, who wrote Transformers 2. I believe, and 3. Yeah, a lot of people were like, oh, really? You know, I'm not going to...
I mean, who knows?
You never know.
Christian said it well last night. Like, we can't really know until we see a trailer. But one of the things we talked about last night was the fact that Dumbo is really a sad film.
It is.
It's very, very sad for most of you, I'm sure, who've seen it when you were kids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it left such an indelible impression on me.
Yeah.
And I don't know that when you make something like that live action, you don't lose something in the translation a little bit from, you know, 2D to 3D.
I hope they hit it hard because I think it's interesting what Disney did back with the Dumbo animated movie. And then you have all these, you hear about these elephants in captivity at the circus that do this, that like the mother did, you know, rage and stampede and can actually kill people. I'm getting a little out there with this.
No, I actually think it's a huge aspect of the news because it's been in the news that I think it's the Ringling Brothers or Barnum and Bailey have announced that they're going to be phasing out their elephant acts because they are so cruel. I mean,
awful. Have you seen these things?
People who follow me know I'm a big armchair animal rights activist.
Yeah.
I'm a vegetarian. I'm not to be like earnest and standing on my soapbox, but elephants are one of the most intelligent, beautiful creatures on the planet. And we have so mistreated and abused them. Please don't go to circuses.
Yeah.
Please don't like go to zoos where they aren't treating their animals properly. And I think this is actually a good opportunity with Dumbo to raise awareness.
Thank you. That's where I was going with this. And
sorry,
but to even think about what you're saying here, that feeling is now very universal.
Mm-hmm.
Not only with that, if you look at other like SeaWorld.
Yeah, look what Blackfish did.
So,
you know, from there's rights of orcas.
Yeah, there's now a very heated debate going on in certain sectors like this. And I'm totally with you, Mary. I hate seeing these animals in captivity. You look at SeaWorld, you look at Ringling Brothers, Barnum
it's
Bailey.
Not right.
And how are they going to base a movie around that? Do they go into that?
I think they should.
I think they should too.
I don't think they should shy away because one of the things about that Dumbo, you know, it was of its time. It came out years and years and years ago.
Yeah.
But one of the things it does touch on is how poorly elephants are treated in the circus setting and how unnatural it is.
Yeah.
You know, and we see with like poachers, you know, maybe because I follow that news, I'm aware of how around it is and how, and we live in an age where everybody's sharing information. And so things are much more accessible and people have much more power now to make changes just by signing a petition.
Yeah.
You know, you have 250,000 signatures. That's, I think, what Blackfish did for the SeaWorld movement and the anti-SeaWorld movement. And I think it's so beautiful to see movies be able to have that. Granted, Blackfish is a documentary, but I do think that there is the opportunity to incite positive change with films. So
absolutely.
I would love to see them do that.
I hope they do. I don't really look at Tim Burton as the man to do it, though. I mean, he's more of a, lately for me, it's all about his visuals and, you know, he's more reliant on like, look how kooky weird I am. This is my opinion.
What'd you think of Big Eyes?
You know, I haven't seen it. I need to see it. I've heard mixed things. Good? Bad? In your opinion?
I was disappointed by it.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I thought that...
I hear that more often than not.
Yeah. I mean, I thought the world he created, he's so good at creating worlds, you know?
Yeah, no, that's, I got to hand it to him.
I'm a huge fan of his just from growing up on, you know, Beetlejuice and Edward Scissorhands and all his great films. But I just felt like it was a missed opportunity. I felt like Christoph Waltz's character came off as almost a caricature, like so over the top. But I don't want to say too much because you haven't seen it.
No, 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 that's
okay. I want
you
guys to form your own opinions.
Yeah, oh, we're getting applause, by the way, for our talk, The Cove. Oh,
yeah,
good
the
Lord,
Cove
guy.
Is a great call.
Oh, The Cove. I know. That killed me.
Yeah.
That, if you guys, I mean, I know we've kind of veered off into animal rights here, but it's...
Sorry, I have a tendency to do that.
No, and I'll go with you on that because it's, I mean, I'm a huge, I mean, everybody knows me out there. I have, you know, I'm a professional photographer of my dog. I love him to death and I love animals. And when I see this stuff, so I hope Dumbo maybe we'll touch on it and maybe, I don't know, the end Dumbo flies off to Africa to live his life.
To live free.
To live free.
It's such a painful movie. I feel like one of the interesting reactions people have is like, I don't know if I want to go through that again.
I know, right?
Because it's like Bambi, you know? Like, you don't know if you want to go through that again.
Are we going to get
so
a Bambi?
Painful.
Are we going to get a live-action Bambi?
I don't know. I think if Dumbo does really well, we might.
I think we'll get a live-action Bambi. I think, I mean, what else is on the dock? We'll probably get...
Snow White,
yeah.
Although they did Snow White and the Huntsman, and that
that took the liberties just from the Grimm fairy tale. But yeah. Who knows what else is out there? Little Mermaid. Oh, we are getting a Little Mermaid.
I would love a live action. I just love Little Mermaid.
Sophia Coppola is doing Little Mermaid, but based on the Hans Christian Andersen.
It's much darker.
Yeah, it is much darker. I hope they, I hope they make that dark.
I'm sure she's going to make it dark.
All right, we're getting close to sign off here, so let's just do it. Mary the Jedi. what do you think of the Star Wars spinoff title, Rogue One?
I really like it.
Yeah.
I really like Rogue One, and I like the fact that I do think this is going to be a bounty hunter.
I do too.
I think people have been saying, well, it's called Rogue One. I think that's all the more reason why it's going to be a bounty hunter story, because bounty hunters are rogues.
You said this last night, and I loved what you said, because that's so true.
Yeah.
Just think of the title, guys, Rogue. Okay, I know that the rebels used those call signs. I think most famously in Empire Strikes Back, you know, Rogue One, Rogue Squadron, which are
exactly my favorite.
Oh yeah,
episode
mine
five,
too.
Yep. All day,
everyone. Episode 5, Empire Strikes Back. So Rogue One is okay. We've heard the rumor. Have you heard the rumors of what it's about? Oh yeah, we talked about it last night.
About
the Death Star plans. They also Slash Film launched something last night that they saw concept art. From Rogue One. And they said something that just sticks with me that I don't like hearing. They said it looks like Halo video game, like the concept art. And I went, stop it. I don't want that.
Yeah.
That's not my Star Wars. You know, stay away from Halo.
I keep getting mixed up between Episode 8 and Rogue One. Who's directing Rogue One?
Rogue One is Gareth Edwards.
It's Gareth Edwards.
Yeah,
and
Godzilla
Episode 8
director.
Is Ryan Johnson.
Yes, yes.
Well, I think one of the things that Gareth Edwards does well, even with Godzilla, and some people hated this about Godzilla, but I liked the fact that he kind of kept things a mystery.
Thank you.
He did that with Monsters.
I loved it.
Beautifully, I thought.
Oh, Monsters is one of
the
best.
He did it on no money,
yep.
And he focused on character. He focused on tension.
Yeah.
And I think if he brings that aesthetic to Rogue One, I don't think it's going to look like a Halo video game. I think
no.
It's going to look cool and interesting and mysterious, and we'll see. We'll see what he does, right? I'm hopeful.
I am so hopeful. But at the same point...
I have a new hope. Just kidding.
Hey! That's a Star Wars reference, everyone. I have complete faith in Gareth Edwards.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I loved Godzilla. I know a lot of people are like, Riley, you're crazy. That movie sucks. It was slow. Is this? And it's like, no, I beg to differ. I thought it was so much like Jaws, even to naming the character Brody.
Yeah.
For God's sakes, that was the biggest nod
I liked
to
Godzilla.
Jaws ever, and it did. It worked for me because I loved it. Even when you see just the foot of Godzilla goes right at the monster, and then you cut to seeing it on the footage on the. I mean, he just was like, he just got me. He was like, come on, play, come on, play, and then the end, you see everything, and that's where that was
the
money shot for me.
Yeah. I think that's nice, too, about Gareth Edwards is he doesn't underestimate the intelligence of his audience. And I think it's exciting to see a guy helming big blockbuster films and not thinking he has to dumb them down.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, don't even get me started.
So you don't have to dumb down your content to appeal to a broad audience. People are smart. They know what they want. They understand good story. They understand good characters. So.
Yeah, and Disney is just killing it right now. And they, like the schmoes, we've talked about it before. When Disney bought Lucasfilm, a lot of people said, oh my God, they're going to screw up Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how is that possible? I mean, it's already kind of in the shit can with the prequels. I know people love the prequels. I enjoy the prequels as well. I've changed my tune a little bit. But Disney, what they do is they buy these properties because they're smart and they're big and they have the money to do it. And then they go, okay, great, here you go. And they get these great people. Look at what they're doing. They got Gareth Edwards doing Rogue One. They got Rian Johnson doing Episode 8. I mean, I wrote, guys, go on schmozno.com. Type in Rian Johnson, R-I-A-N Johnson, in the search, and you will see my love letter to Episode 8. How perfect. I wrote, like, I think 8 pages of just being like, he's the best, everybody. I love him so much. It was awesome. So here's something I want to talk about. Where is it? What if Felicity Jones is Leia? Is that too much? Probably. So says Alberto Heisenberg.
Think of that, Heisenberg. Yeah. How do you think about that?
No, I don't. Guys, I've heard this. These rumors. I don't think so.
I don't. I think it might be too confusing chronologically because you know I know it's a standalone, but I feel like I don't feel like they're going to make the standalones come at different time periods. Maybe they will. I don't know. They might. I just feel like. Because Carrie Fisher's back for Episode 7, I think it might be a bit confusing. They might do it. I don't know.
They might do it.
She'd be a great Leia, but I don't know if that's... I'm kind of thinking, like, wouldn't it be cool if she's the bounty hunter? Like, that she's the one.
Yeah.
She's the lead.
Yeah.
So, you know, they might do that because, you know, it's been in the news a lot that women are underrepresented in films. And, and I think, you know, there is a sea change coming. And I think that there's a whole generation of actresses that are... capable and wonderful, and maybe they're like, maybe she's the lead bounty hunter. I don't know.
I would be up for any of that. Maybe one of the first rebel pilots or a bounty hunter, or I don't know, a Luke Skywalker journey story. Who knows what it could be? I don't think it's Leia. I totally agree with you because how could chronologically? Yes, I mean it. Yes, guys, it is seemingly in that time period right before, obviously, Princess Leia has the plans and puts them in R2. However, I think it would muddle my Star Wars. It would muddle it for me if I look at New Hope and if Felicity Jones turns out to be Leia. I don't think so, but if it were true, and then all of a sudden we watch that movie and then you watch New Hope and you have that backstory in your mind when you see Leia, it would fry my circuits.
Frying my circuits. Yeah. I feel like maybe a potential thing is that maybe she has a torch if they're talking about getting the plans, if that's true, then they are changing the time frame. I don't know. It's a good question.
It's a very good question. One for good speculation, I think, because, I've got 3 shout-outs. Now 4, Alberto. Alberto. Sorry, he's like the R2-D2, I think. Guys, Rogue One, can't wait for it. The whole thing, you guys, when I wrote the article about the breaking news yesterday, I got immediately tweeted, no bounty hunters then, huh? Guys, we don't know that. Like, seriously, go back to Mary's point. The Rogue name, it means bounty hunter. They work for whoever pays them.
Yep.
I would love the spin of it to see the Rebels get some bounty hunters involved, be it Boba Fett. It for me now to go back to reverse a little point, it would color my feelings on Boba Fett if he was working for the Rebels in Rogue One, and then later on in Empire he's working for the Empire.
Yeah,
I mean, come on, that would give Boba Fett some layers right there.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
I dig that. So guys, Rogue One, it's happening. Do you, Mary? Do you think that if these standalones do well, that they'll get sequels and then continue
I don't see why not. I mean, contrary to what I feel about Ghostbusters, Star Wars has the probably like among the richest lore that is of a non-comic book based franchise world universe. So I don't see why not. I mean, they're you know, didn't we talk about it last night that they're releasing 20 books between now and when Episode 7 is released in 9 months from now? 20.
That's insane.
So, and it's supposed to all be taking place in between the events of Return of the Jedi and
And Force Awakens
yeah,
now.
Force
yeah.
Awakens.
So, I'm excited for that. I know there's some, I know there's some kids books.
Sticker books.
One of them too that I love, and it's a kid's book. It's a rebel pilot and an imperial officer fall in love. I love that.
Star-crossed lovers.
Little Romeo and Juliet in space happening. I dig it. So I'm going to have to do some reading, I suppose, and I'm very excited. Yeah, there is such, I mean, we haven't even gotten to Old Republic. I mean, I think Disney is smart. Not only doing these, and I hope they're not too reliant on the original trilogy. And I also hope that they don't forget the prequels. I think it's important to remember them.
I think from a plot points view, I don't think they – I think they'll definitely rely on them because there are things that have happened in those movies that lead up. Yeah, it's canon. Yeah. And I think that's why they did make that announcement of like this is what's canon and this is not.
Yeah.
They had to do that because it could get so messy and so unwieldy if they say, well, everything's up for grabs. Then it's just huge.
Then you're sitting here with Rogue One going, oh, well, isn't Mara Jade going to be in it? And I actually heard somebody say, oh, you know, Felicity Jones is going to be Mara Jade. No. That's not going to happen. I think she's a totally original character. She might be tied to Rebels, the animated show.
Right.
Christian says something Hera. She might be Hera from Rebels.
He loves Rebels.
He loves Rebels. I'm still trying to find the.
I haven't even watched it.
Yeah,
too many movies.
I know. There's way too much out there. So
I'm just trying to squeeze House of Cards into my life.
I know. I got to do that. I think
and Game of Thrones is coming. Like
Yeah, I know. Oh God, I got to catch up on Game of Thrones. So, well, it looks like. I think we need to end it there, guys, because I know you have a busy day. You got to get moving. I got to get moving. And you guys, thank you so much for joining us on Meet the Movie Press here on the Popcorn Talk Network. Be sure and rate, comment, subscribe. Check out all the other shows. You got Profiles, Guilty Movie Pleasure, Box Office Breakdown, DC Movie News, Marvel Movie News, and, of course, the main show. You guys, thank you, as always. Mary, where can the good people find you so they can follow you?
Yeah. You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Mary the Jedi. Nice. I welcome your comments, your questions. You've all been wonderful to me, so thank you for that.
Yeah, well, they love you here. I mean, I'm seeing a lot of marriage proposals, guys. sorry. I think she's taken. Yeah.
I'm taken.
And, guys, you can find me at Riley Around on Twitter. You can find me every day on schmozno.com. And you can also check out my new website, iseethefrog.com.
Ooh.
It's called we look for the overlooked. So we find some of the best stuff out there that don't get a lot of play, and we shine a spotlight on it. So check that out. We got fun videos, original content, great articles. One of the articles I love is how Lincoln was a sequel to Time Cop. Check that out on iseethefrog.com. And guys, Jeff Snyder will be back. He's gonna piss off the jury today. Piss off the judge and probably get booted out of LA, but he'll be back next week. And we'll see you then. Thanks as always for joining us. See ya.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Spitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.